today with James McNeil, who is the assistant professor at the Department of Economics at Dalhousie University. Hi, Professor James. Thank you for being here.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
All right, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your research, and then we'll get to the questions.
Sure. So I'm an assistant professor of economics, as you said. Most of my research tends to focus on monetary policy and interest rates. So we're looking at, you know, what's the effect, say, when the Bank of Canada raises the interest rate on economic conditions.
All right. So let's start with the first question. Does Halifax have a good economy?
Well, I guess it depends on, you know, what you mean by good or not good. Historically, the maritime regions have typically had smaller incomes or lower incomes compared to the rest of the country. But on the other hand, as we've seen recently, it's also a growing community. We know that the population of Halifax has increased a lot in the last year or two, and it's also on track to increase a lot in the coming years. And so with that perspective, potential for a lot of growth in the future, which is encouraging.
Let's start with housing. Why are house prices suddenly high in Halifax, and will they decrease?
Yeah, so that's the question on everyone's mind. So there's been a lot of increase over the past 2 years. So I actually moved to Halifax 2 years ago when I started here at Dalhousie. Since then, house prices have essentially doubled. Now, it's important to understand that compared to the rest of the country, house prices here are still on the low end, even though they seem quite high. And so, a big part of that is perhaps just an adjustment to where some of the other regions in this country are at. Some people point to a lot of people moving here during the pandemic, and some of that was driven precisely because of low house prices. House prices in Ontario, for example, are so high that they're simply unaffordable for most people. And so with a lot of people with relatively high incomes now all of a sudden able to work from home, Maritimes looked like an attractive location because your money goes a lot further. And so because of that increase in demand coming from other areas of the country, that led to higher prices. That was certainly a contributing factor, but there was other ones as well. For example, interest rates were quite low, and then even people living here, a lot of people were able to save a lot more money when they were spending less on things like haircuts and massages that they weren't getting during the pandemic. And so savings went up, and that allowed them to afford a house that cost a little bit more. And then there's also been supply constraints. So housing has just been, there haven't been many houses for sale for all the opposite reasons, right? Because if everyone wanted to buy a house, people were less likely to sell their houses. And so that also contributed to higher prices.
And how does urbanization and population affect housing?
So urbanization would certainly contribute in the sense that, you have a lot more people wanting to live in a finite area. Halifax is only so many square kilometers, it's not really getting any bigger. And so with urbanization, more people moving to the same place, you can expect house prices to go up. That's one reason why we're seeing so many condo-type developments, and particularly in the north end of Halifax, which is where I live, there's tons of condos going up. And so that's one way you can get around that, right? If you can't build out, you build up.
Right. And will the house prices go down anytime soon?
Well, it's tough to predict, but most people seem to think that that's the case. You're already seeing some signs of a slowdown in that market. Kind of depends on your story of what you think was driving the increase in house prices to begin with. If you thought it was because people moving here during the pandemic, well, with the pandemic not being over, but with the restrictions certainly being lifted and people mostly being boosted now, we can expect that's not a good reason to move here anymore. Likewise, if it was because interest rates are really low, where interest rates are starting to rise now, and so we should expect less demand for that reason as well. So that might lead to lower house prices in the future, then, to answer your question.
Now let's move on to food. So Canada's Food Price Report 2022 forecasts an overall food price increase of 5-7% for the coming year. So this is the highest increase in food prices in 12 years. So why is that?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of high inflation in general in Canada, and food prices are a big part of that. What's contributing to that has been some things which are pandemic related. So there's just been, we've seen global supply shortages all over, and some of that's been related to food. Over the past couple of years, we've also had some natural developments such as floods and droughts that have led to food shortages. And then likewise with the situation in Ukraine right now, you know, Ukraine and Russia are both big exporters of wheat, not necessarily to Canada, but to other countries in the world. And so because of the Russian invasion, Ukraine, isn't, for example, hasn't been able to export much of their wheat crop as they normally would. And so that's led to shortages in other countries, which just leads to elevated prices.
Okay, so how do economists define scarcity? And in your experience, can we expect a food shortage here in Halifax within the next years or so?
So we tend to think of scarcity in relative terms. So economists tend to frame things in terms of supply on the one hand and demand on the other. And so a good is scarce when there's a lot of demand and very little supply. So, you know, getting back to housing, we would say that there's a, you know, scarcity issue there because there were so few houses for sale at the same time that there was a lot of people wanting to buy one. In terms of food shortages, I don't think that's necessarily an issue. You know, Canada's still a high-income country, and so that's not going to be a concern for us per se, although it could lead to higher prices, and so for certainly some people it's going to be a problem, but on average, not necessarily. But, you know, for developing countries, it's certainly more of a concern. You can see, you know, potentially devastating consequences there, unfortunately, for the next couple of years.
So you spoke a little bit about the factors that are causing an increase in food prices. I guess, when can we expect everything to kind of be back to stagnant or normal?
Yeah, that's a good question. Again, it's, you know, it's really hard to predict the future. It depends, you know, how much you think is related to these different factors, right? So some of the factors, like a drought, for example, maybe you think, well, it's just a one-year thing and hopefully it goes away. But, you know, if this is climate change related and we're likely to get more droughts in the future, then maybe this is just something we can expect to happen more often, unfortunately. Likewise with the situation in Ukraine, well, it depends if, you know, if this invasion ends relatively soon and farmers are able to export their crops. Maybe not even this year, since they probably haven't had a chance to plant as much, but, you know, next year and going forward, then hopefully this is just a temporary thing. But if situation, you know, drags on for longer, then, you know, we can expect also that to affect food prices for a longer time.
And speaking of food prices, what specific foods do you think will be affected by inflation?
Well, I think, you know, it's been well documented that meat prices, for example, have increased a lot. I know fresh produce in Nova Scotia tends to be, you know, quite expensive in general, even this time of year. So I think that would probably be, you know, areas that are primarily driving the higher food prices.
All right, now let's move on to gas. So why does the price of gas fluctuate so frequently here?
That's a good question. You know, gas prices fluctuate pretty frequently in a lot of places. Of course, it's heavily tied to the price of oil, which, you know, varies a lot, just like all types of you know, asset prices and other prices in other financial markets. So that's kind of one reason. Another reason is just that there tends to be, you know, potentially unpredictable changes to demand, and supply is harder to change, and so that can lead to bigger variability, changes in prices. Excuse me.
Do you think because the price of gas continues to fluctuate and sometimes even breaking records high, as we've seen this year, people may resort to using other modes of transportation, stop using their cars? And
it's an interesting question. On the one hand, you kind of hope so, right? We're also trying to get people to drive less to fight climate change. And so if that's right, one outcome of this, then I think that would be a good thing. Think of higher prices as kind of working in the same way as a carbon tax, right? And that it's supposed to change your behavior. And so if gas becomes more expensive, and as you say, you drive your car less, and maybe you bike or walk or take the bus to work, you know, that's potentially a good long-run outcome, even though it might be, you know, uncomfortable for people to make those adjustments in the short run.
So we spoke a lot about, like, Halifax is becoming one of the most, it's having an unprecedented rapid population growth. So I was just wondering, how is this going to affect inflation in the 5 to 10 years to come, in your experience?
You know, I don't know that there's necessarily a direct link between population growth on the one hand and inflation on the other.
Right.
One reason is just that so many of the goods that we consume in Nova Scotia, mm-hmm, are, you know, sold, you know, either all over Canada or all over the world, right? So, for example, a lot of the fresh produce that we get, especially in the winter months, well, none of that comes from here. And so that doesn't necessarily contribute directly to, you know, our own demand for those goods doesn't necessarily contribute directly to an inflation. On the other hand, for things that are, you know, Nova Scotia specific, like, for example, the housing market, well, that's one reason why we might think housing prices are, you know,
increasing
or going to remain elevated for years to come. If there's going to be a lot more population growth here, and then we can expect, well, that would just be, you know, higher demand for housing, for example.
How is inflation affected by foreign trade?
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting question. One reason that it's affected by foreign trade is just that, by definition, a lot of the goods that we consume are foreign goods, we would say. So, you know, for example, if you buy a TV, I can almost guarantee you that's not been made in Canada, right? It was probably, you know, made from components from all over the world, assembled in China, and then shipped over here. Now, how does that lead to inflation? Well, for example, think about what happened during the COVID crisis, where we had a big change in the way people spent their money. Like I was saying before, people stopped consuming services, things like haircuts and massages. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with their money piling up, they decided, well, now's a really good time to, you know, put an extension on my house, or maybe buy a larger house or a larger TV. And so that led to a big change in our consumption habits from services more to physical goods, because that's the sort of stuff that we could still spend our money on during that time. And so that led to a lot of higher inflation, just because we had, all at the same time, people were shifting the types of goods that they wanted to buy, right? So everyone wanted to buy, you know, a TV at the same time. And so that led to a, you know, higher prices for TVs. And so that contributed to a lot of the inflation for, you know, physical goods that we saw early on during the pandemic, say a year and a half ago.
My final question is, how would an increase in minimum wage affect the economy?
So that's a great question. You know, there's different theories on this. Some classical economic models say that, you know, an increase in the minimum wage is sometimes bad for workers. It's good for workers, certainly, who get to keep their jobs because they earn more money. But it's typical model would predict that you're going to have, you know, less workers overall. And so for those workers who lose their jobs, then they're worse off. Now, our current environment, we have a really, really tight labor market. By that I mean there's a lot of jobs relative to people who are looking for a job. And so in this type of environment, we can expect that, you know, wages are already going to be higher maybe than they otherwise would. And so we would expect, you know, in the current environment, an increase in the minimum wage probably wouldn't have a very big effect. Most people who are looking to hire workers are already finding they need to pay them a higher wage just to be able to find someone to do the job.
Well, we've discussed food, housing, and gas. Is there anything else you would like to add, Professor James?
Well, one thing I guess people are wondering about is the effect of the higher interest rates we've been seeing and will continue to see over the coming coming time. So the Bank of Canada is scheduled to meet soon, mm-hmm. and there's, you know, expectations that they're going to raise the interest rate further. And so we should just expect that, you know, that's going to lead to lower inflation over perhaps the medium term. That's the whole point of why they're raising interest rates. But with that also, you know, the economy tends to get worse when interest rates are higher. And so you can expect, for example, potentially a cooling off in the housing sector, but also potentially in the labor markets and, you know, broader economic effects from that as well.
How would this be bad for us?
When interest rates are higher, essentially borrowing becomes very expensive, right? So if you had a variable rate mortgage and the interest rate goes up, well, now you need to spend more of your money just on your mortgage payments. So what that means is that you have less money to spend on, you know, dinners out, going to movies, right, things like this. So if people are spending less money on other things, and that's bad for the economy in Nova Scotia because, you know, you don't need as many servers all of a sudden at your restaurant because fewer people are eating out. And so that's less people that need to work there. And so this effect kind of, you know, filters through the economy in that way. And so in that sense, higher interest rates can be, you know, bad for the economy, at least in the short run, or at least lead to sort of a dampening effect.
Sarah Gouda, CKDU.